The Perth Football Podcast is proudly brought to you by Macron Store Perth, an industry leader in quality teamwear specialising in grassroots, semi-pro and professional team attire. Visit the Macron Sports Hub Perth Facebook page for more. Thank you to Macron for helping us keep the pod running and for their continuous involvement in community sport.
We're back at the Perth Football Podcast. They've got a beautiful brand new microphone, so hopefully you can hear me nice and clearly. One person, I'm Sean Fry, host of the Perth Football Podcast. One person who I know will be able to hear nice and clearly, because we can every week, is our producer, Kalichi, coming at you from his own house. How are you, Kalichi?
I am terrific, gentlemen. How are you?
I am well. The other gentleman in the booth, or the virtual booth that Kalichi's alluding to, is the greatest man, Josh Chiat. How are you, greatest man?
This is so confusing, because you were just talking about how everyone would be able to hear you, and then you like froze for about 10 seconds on my computer screen.
Could you still hear me?
No, I couldn't hear you at all.
Oh, but you could, Kalichi.
Just got static.
Heard you just fine, Shaunton.
Ah, well, it's your problem.
Which means the people can hear you, Sean.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you are the weakest link again, Josh Chiat.
No, not fair. I think that the we've done more planning than we've ever done for one of these podcasts, so it's bound to just go haywire.
All right. Well, what was your Macron moment of the week then, Josh?
Oh, my Macron moment of the week. I have one. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, professional. He's done so much preparing, Kalichi.
No,
Have you noticed? Do you have a Macron moment of the week?
No, it was... Shut up, Sean. It was the... You can see it on the Football WA.
So glad he can hear me clearly now.
It was the save from by Riley Stevenson, the new Ashfield goalkeeper against Balgan. It was a 2-1 win for Ashfield, and it was a triple save. It was quite something. The first one maybe could have padded it a bit further away, but the last two are world-class and real point-blank stuff. Riley Stevenson, you might remember him for a famous segment in the first season of the podcast, when he was playing for Perth Red Star, when myself and Sean were 100% correct and everyone else was wrong.
The
famous Dogzo incident between Perth Red Star and Floriot.
Perth Football Podcast folklore.
Of course, Kalichi, this is your moment of the week, Josh.
and who was wrong about that, Sean?
I love that his moment of the week is basically a moment of the week from 3 years ago.
But congratulations. Yeah, go back on the Spotify feed and have a listen, everyone.
Oh, do it. We were right. I do want to say that.
Riley Stevenson, best known for that incident to listeners of the podcast, but a very good goalkeeper.
I was wondering where I knew the name from. I was like, Stevenson.
Yeah, so was right. I. So was I.
but a very good goalkeeper, and wishing him a great season down at Ashfield, who look like they've assembled a pretty decent squad to try and make a run at the playoffs this season in
Division 2. Mate. Good luck to you, Riley. We'd love to have you back up near the top. Kalichi, your Macron moment of the week?
I'm going to just say all of Saturday, I was eating a lot of humble pie. I was at UWA, who I found out that I had tipped them to come last. I literally found that out. I was like, I tipped them last? Goddamn, I'm sorry, Richie. So I tipped them to come last, and they played a really good game against Sorrento, should have won. I was in at Floriot, who, tipped to come 11th. They won as well. They let me know all about it. And then I was down at the Sabco Football Centre, where I gave Wembley down some added motivation. And they were, telling me how I tipped them to come 8th or 9th. And they wanted to just tell me all about it as well. So there it is. But the biggest Macron moment of the week for that was Friday Zico coming out with some lotion to help his boy Cherno Bar, who spent too long getting ready for our post-game interview that he forgot to moisturize his legs. And if you were a melanated brother like myself, you need to make sure that your legs are on point. You don't want to be out here looking like Ashy Larry. But he came out here looking like Ashy Larry, but the homie Friday, those who know will know, the homie Friday turned up with some shea butter lotion and I offered it up to a Cherno Bar, and that's the kind of teamwork that Floriat have that's getting them these results. So so shout out to Friday Zika for that one.
I want to say something. Can you, just before you go on from that, I just want to, and I'm not having a dig at Floriat here. I'm only going to say, I think at this point in the season last year, I think at this point in the season last year, they had more points than they do now.
Oh.
Okay. Why are you taking a dig at Floriat? Why are you, you're already doing it.
Sean, it's not a dig. They're trying to create this, like...
It's like this narrative of like, you know, everybody's looking down on
Josh,
them and that
I'm
sort
trying
of thing.
To, I'm trying to help them write the narrative. I'm Agent Fry for Floriat, trying to just get you to take more digs at them, like how you wrote them off before a ball had been kicked and said they probably wouldn't score a goal all season. Anyway, before we get to the games, my macro moment of the week for the Perth Football Parenting podcast is I got a smile from my daughter for the first time about half an hour before this podcast, so I can't really think about anything else. So if you don't like that lovey-dovey, homely stuff, then fuck you. Let's dive in with that.
Producer of the Perth Football Podcast, I co-signed that message.
Let's dive in because it was a huge week in the men's NPL. Is it the 8th today? It is. Far out. That year's flying. Anyway, it's the 8th of March after round 4, and who are top? Western Knights with a 2-1 win over Balcatta. 4 from 4. What an incredible start to the season for them. I don't know where you guys want to start with this one, but we've been asking, as we've sort of done every year for the last 3 years, first with Sterling, then with Kingsway, we go, are these guys for real? Are these guys for real? And more often than not lately, these teams that come up into the NPL, they really are there to compete, Kalichi.
Yeah, I was not necessarily surprised by them winning, but I am surprised by the fact that it is 4 for 4. They've got the second best attack in the league and the best defense in the league. I was concerned about how they would score goals because they didn't necessarily look like they could do it in the night series, especially with Kredowitz deciding not to play anymore. But obviously Louis was away, and Louis scored a terrific goal today as well, and he gives them a really good focal point as well. But that home field of Nashfield is just, it's just proving to be a fortress. And again, they have played 3 of their 4 games at home. So what happens when the season evens out and they balance out the other way? But they do have experience in the team. They do have match winners in the team. And when you look at that, when you look at their first goal, it was just a terrifically beautiful strike. The audacity to even think of doing something like that, the thought process to be like, nope, I'm taking it, I've taken the touch and I'm just lashing it. It's like a sumptuous goal that you would see in like a Premier League game sort of thing. So
that was the good lift goal at the start of the first half. Balcatta scored a penalty. Hinshelwood in the 12th minute, I think it was, and then Albert Louis scored the winner 17 seconds into the second half. Just incredible. You're talking about the, you know, incredible performance from Knights so far. How much of that, Josh, is due to the deserter of the wall, Jesse Lazaro?
Which I lost you. I don't know what you're talking about.
Jesse
Lazaro used to play for Coburn, of course, and Coburn is one of the two teams that Sean is all about. So the fact that Jesse Lazaro has gone away from Coburn and deserted his family and Heidi and the Coburn faithful, as Sean is alluding to, and is now playing for Western Knights
Heidi's the big one. Heidi, that's the one you've betrayed the most, Jesse, and we'll never let you forget it.
You've let me down.
It's starting to look like he very much hasn't let himself down, because it would be such a cool thing to see Jesse Lazaro with a NPL title to his name for Knights. I think that would be very cool. What do you think, Josh? Are they the real deal?
I think it's hard. I honestly, I haven't seen much of them play. I've probably seen as much of them as you have, Sean, mostly highlights. If you just look statistically or just fixture wise what they've had so far, we know that they've still got to play some of those big guns. They're yet to play a Kingsway or a Bayswater or a Red Star or Perth Glory Youth. And they also have the advantage. I mean, I think we spoke about this at length last week, so we won't go into it too much, but the home ground is a very difficult place for anyone to go play. I think they might have the have even Armidale pipped for, you know, toughest place to go in the NPL, and they've had three of their first four games at home as well.
Is this a thing though, Josh? Is this not one of these myths we've debunked? Is Alfred Skeet really like a harder place to go than any other ground? Or are you just, you're making stats up again?
Oh, we're probably making stats up, but it's not making up
for... Oh, I got in Caliche.
But it's
got
not
in Caliche.
It's not making up for Western Knights.
Yeah, well, whatever is happening, they'll hope it can continue happening. Four wins from four for Balcatta. It's the fourth week they've led.
Four wins from four. Oh, yes. It's a strange one. And I think it's...
Parallel universe, they're top of the league.
Yeah, but I also think it's weird because they find themselves in situations, and I don't think they'll mind me saying this, where it comes from their own mistakes. And then it's like a mistake will lead to a moment of brilliance, or a mistake will lead to someone else taking a chance. Last weekend, they went 1-0 down because of an errant back pass that was counteracted, and bang, Glory go and score. This week, they've got the lead, they've got the ball, they're swinging it all the way back, and they're playing it back to the goalkeeper. He gets pressed, and he lashes it straight down the middle of the field. Western Knights win it, take a touch, play it in, and bang, it's 1-1. And you're just going, like, just out of nothing, like, you had the ball, and out of nowhere, it's now 1-1 in a game that you had control of. I'd be really, hopefully we can find some statistics where it can actually tell us like what the possession and all that kind of stuff was. But yeah, I reckon you'll find in a lot of situations, it's Balcatta have the ball, Balcatta are in control, and someone makes a mistake, or someone is fatigued, or someone is tired. And my question for the both of you is, at what point do you just go like, does it stop being our we're unlucky and just like we're not very good?
Yeah, well, is it that? Then that's kind of what I was going to say, but I was probably going to say it in a meaner way. So I don't know if you can hear the dogs are going nuts.
I don't mean like we're not very good, but like you can't just keep saying we're unlucky. It's like, okay, we've got to actually work on these things.
Well, this is what I was going to say. Like how many, like that's a big topic of conversation with teams that are constantly making sort of routine errors is that, you know, is this just a case of a few mistakes, just one in a million, three times in a row? And the more times you make these mistakes, the less chance it is that it is just, you know.
And if it's always late chance. In the game, and if it's always late in the game, you start to look at the fitness as well, don't you?
Absolutely.
It's like if you're getting 100%. Overrun by teams every week. I mean, you look at that Glory goal last week in particular, you know, that's 13, 14 passes they're able to chain together in the heat of four or 5 minute injury time, which you know it should be tough. It should be tougher to work your way through a team at that point in a game.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Glory score a goal like that this week as well, where they just keep the ball and just break a team down. So maybe that's something that they do. But I'm from a Balcatta perspective, like, and again, if you're a player in that team, and this was the cool thing about speaking to Trent Kay last week, is he was just simply positive, right? He was saying, we'll get there, we'll get it done. We're just unlucky right now, but we'll get there, we'll get it done. But if it happens five times, like, can you say the same message to the same players and say, we're lucky, it's going to get done?
Yeah. No, you can't keep making the mistakes or it starts to just look like, hey, maybe we aren't quite good enough then, or we're not adapting to this system like we should, or whatever other excuse. What is your excuse, Josh, for the way you tipped Floreat to be so bad and they've gone and beat Perth Soccer Club 4-1, 3-0 at halftime, just wiped the floor with them? Noah Shimaki from range. And then we don't have a pronunciation for this one. Yuot and Bar. If that pronunciation is wrong, please let us know, or if you know the correct pronunciation. And then after halftime, Sean McManus to make it 4. And then a consolation goal. Josh, can you describe this one? Was this an own goal or was it a fake knee goal?
Oh, I guess it's a matter of interpretation. I think you could just about give it to fake knee because it looked like it was on target. But Jason Saldaris definitely should have done better with it. Sort of from what we heard from his perspective, it kind of it kind of knuckleballed and swung around in the breeze a bit, and then he's had to sort of tip it into his own net on the line.
So Kelechi, did you think it was a fake knee goal or an own goal?
I can see why it's a fake knee goal, because it's kind of like it's kind of gone on target. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like in the direction of the goal.
Has it kind of gone on target, or is it going to go into the goals?
So it was on target, right? And Saldarius has a chance to like punch it out or tip it out, but he says that the movement of the ball kind of just caught him off guard. And so when he finally gets there, it looks like he's literally punched it into his net. But I think
we'll give him the goal then.
Can I say about the Florit thing and the point I made earlier about how they had more points at this time last season? I'm just saying Kelechi doesn't need to be embarrassed and say he's eating humble pie just yet. Like, he's getting
very used to the taste of humble pie.
Don't change your stance. It's on the basis of one game, Kelechi.
It's an acquired taste.
Just one game.
All right, Kelechi, then I will get you to tell me how good do you think Florit are?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think as a sum total, they are very, very together. They are a team that is playing for each other. They're working hard for each other. They have a talisman in Noah Shimaki right now who has the confidence and backing of the entire team. And he's the main man right now, right? There is no Robert Petkov. There is no Bailey Brown Montgomery. He's the main man. And, you know, Ambrosio, Barr, McManus, they're all kind of looking to him as the focal point and then trying to feed off of him, right? So that's going very, very well. Barr's been playing some terrific football, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it's still Ramadan. And so he's playing these games while fasting as well, right? So they had
breaks in the Premier League games, definitely, for the to break their fast. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've had that in the NPL, but yeah, so he's been playing while fasting. I think Ali Mohamed has made some huge strides since the night series.
He was really good against
Perth. Yeah, and he was really, really good.
Against his old team. He couldn't get a look in the first team there as well.
Some narrative there for you. And I think they've shored things up at the back. And you know, we'll have this conversation that we had. We'll play this conversation that Josh and I had with Noah Shimaki and Jono Barr. But you could see that they've all just been kind of galvanized and maybe even inspired by some of the predictions that have happened around them. I also think that there's a couple other things to factor around this as well, right? The first one is it was Danny Hayes' last game. And like we mentioned, a lot of times when it's, hey, do it for me, guys, McGarnagle, do it for me, Billy, when it's those kind of games, it never goes the way that you kind of plan it to be. Like, it can always be a letdown. I still remember, like, Steven Gerrard.
Is that a thing? I didn't realize that.
I remember Steven Gerrard's last game for Liverpool when we played Stoke and lost 6-1. I remember Jamie Carragher's last game, and we lost, like, whenever it's at someone's last game kind of thing, it never kind of goes on. Remember last year when we go to watch the opener?
But is Danny Hay this great club legend of?
No, but Danny Hay is a coach.
He's been there for 3 weeks.
Danny Hay is a coach who's given them instructions, right? And there is no jeopardy to what's happened. Like, the new guy's coming in next week. If he's mad at you, like, what's he going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think the other thing to factor in is this is the third time these guys have played each other this year. They've played each other once in the night series and once in the preseason friendly. And Perth won the two previous ones. And one of the players told me beforehand, yeah, I reckon they'll go down. We smashed them. And so they could have come into that game with that mindset and mentality of, yeah, well, it's already a done deal. And it's hard to beat the same team three times in a row. So I think all these things kind of factor into it. But I do think that Florida are playing some really good football, and they are together. And yeah, I think they're getting back to that. Back to their style of play where they're hard to beat. They want to smash people. They aren't playing nice football. They're turning teams around. They're winning free kicks. And they're just being in games. And in McManus, who is working his absolute bollocks off right now, man. He's been doing the 75 hard.
It's like two workouts a day, eat like no alcohol. Eat some
no junk food.
Amount of protein.
What is this sorcery that you're talking about?
He's going through 75 days.
Hardcore training regime.
Yeah,
yeah. And 60 days in on Saturday.
And you see him on Instagram, right? And this dude is just working like just absolutely working and putting in the effort. And you can see like what it meant to him when he scored that goal as well. So this
team almost killed himself with a flip.
This team is a team of like nobody believes in us. We believe in ourselves. They've all galvanized together. They've been inspired by each other, and they're having a really good go. So
it does feel like that's the way Floriat like it. So kind of why I'm trying to stir up this rivalry with Josh, because I think it'll spur you on, Athenians. They love this.
It was Kelechi. Like I keep getting blamed for things Kalichi's done.
What did I do?
I think everyone, apart from myself, tipped them to be quite low on the table this season.
You didn't tip anyone, Sean.
Going on from Florida Athena anyway on to Perth.
Before you do, just all of a sudden, right? They've beaten Perth SC, they've beaten Perth Red Star, they've drawn with Perth Glory, and they've lost to the league leaders. So now they're going to get into a run of fixtures where they should quote unquote get easier for them. So what happens now when they're expected to win? That's where we get to see what they're really made of.
And that was where it got tough for them last year. Like you actually look at the games when they were. I think they lost to Inglewood first game last year, and then they beat three challenges in a row. They beat Kingsway, Stirling, and Red Star.
They've always had it in them to beat the big teams, and it's the consistency, obviously, that they had for their title-winning season. We'll see if they have that or can find that sort of consistency again. But as you say, Josh, at this point, they are 5 points above the relegation zone and 5 points off top. So the definition of mid-table at the moment could definitely go either way. We will just play you a little snippet that we got before we move on to Fremantle 2, Bayswater 0. This was from the Floriat Athena 4, Perth Soccer Club 1. It was Josh and Kelechi with Noah Shimaki and Cherno Bar, both scoring, of course, and their thoughts on the season so far.
Perth Football Podcast, Kelechi Osunwa. I've got Josh Chiat to the right of me. We've got Cherno Bar and Noah Shimaki. Both of them got on the score sheet for a 4-1 win for Florida Athena over Perth SC. Boys, terrific game, terrific performance. Give us your thoughts. Each of you, give us your thoughts on the performance and the win from the boys.
Well, to be honest, I feel like, look, everyone played well. We just stuck to the game plan, listened to what the coach had to say, backed each other up. Basically just followed the plan, that's it. I mean, I guess everything worked out.
Yeah, it was a good team performance for all of us. We did have a plan during the week. We worked on it from Tuesday, Thursday, and we just came out and pretty much did what we planned. And it was good to see everyone score. We scored up to 4 goals. It was a very good performance. We just got to keep that going consistently now from now.
Today is Eat Humble Pie Day for me, so I've been at UWA, who I said was going to finish last, and ate some humble pie there. I'm eating some humble pie here, but one of the as someone who picked you guys to be towards the bottom end of the league, you're not there right now. But looking at the team, I noticed it in the night series, and I've seen it a lot more today as well. There's a lot of togetherness from the boys. Everyone looks like they're backing each other up. You're not screaming and yelling at each other, even if it is yelling, it's kind of constructive. And for yourself, Cherno, even one of the boys came out there and came in, did a little twerk with you, ran 45 yards, so make sure he could back you up in that situation as well. So tell us about the team atmosphere that's going on right now as well.
Well, look, I'm going to be honest, it's simple. This team is just full of vibes. At the end of the day, like, we come to training, we come to the game, we just vibe out and enjoy our time. That's all it is, you know? You don't need to stress too much, just have fun.
No, what's the big difference for you?
Yeah, like Cherno said, it's about the team, not like individual performance. And it's about understanding like what each and every one of us can do during the game, understanding our strengths and weaknesses and working together for each other. I'll be honest with you, we're quite a new team and we like to be the underdogs, but at the end of the day, we're proving people wrong. We just have to continue and not stop. We had a bad week last week. It was important for us to get out there and show people we can do it, and we did.
No, it was a disrupted return to the NPL for you last season, but a 3-vote performance today. I'm not sure what referee Steve Gregory is going to do, but that's where I think my votes would lie. What does it mean to be back here putting in a performance like that, and what do you think has been the difference for you for the start of this season?
I think before the season started, we played the night series. We went out there just to sort of see what we can do. And my conversation with the coaches before the season started, I agreed with their plan. I was sort of happy with how we were going to play. And you can see it out there. We're doing what we want to do. everyone's pretty much going out there enjoying themselves. And I think personally for me, it's about staying fit and making sure I can last longer during games. And look, again, I can talk about myself all day, but it's all about team effort. It's all about my teammates. I'm not going to stand here and say, oh, I'm the best player or I did well. But it's about working with the team and, yeah, getting that togetherness going.
I also got to just real quick one. Big Ali at the back. We spoke about him in the night series. He came in and he didn't have the best night series, but he looks like he's absolutely transformed these last four games. Any word on what's been the difference for him, Chernow? More vibes?
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, look, I said vibes, but look, he's still young, he's 19, but we all believe in him. We all tell him every day, look, you're an amazing player. At the end of the day, you just got to work on the experience, listen to the other boys, you know, and just do your thing, you know, because at the end of the day, you're here for a reason. If you weren't good enough, you wouldn't be in the first team with us. And he obviously, you know, he beats himself, and look at him now, he's stepping up to it, you know.
And how's the hamstring?
Which hamstring?
The hamstring that was a little bit tight earlier on.
It was a little bit of celebration, but it's all right. It's going great. We scored, so we're happy.
And which lotion do you use, bro? All right, everybody, that's it. Noah Chernow, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, boys. All the best.
Easy, bro. Appreciate it, bro.
Thank you.
Cheers, boys.
And there you have it. Thank you, Noah and Chernow. Thanks, Josh and Kalichi, for that. Before we move on to that final game in part one, thoughts on Perth Soccer Club, Kalichi? You're saying maybe they need to get a new manager.
Yeah, that was the joke that was going on. And I'm pretty sure I overheard Kenny Lowe say, well, look, I can still turn down the job, guys, when it was 3-0 at halftime. But I think like Josh is going to allude to as well, they were missing a lot of defenders. They had Harley Orr, who won the league as a number 8, playing in the 6. They had Federico Achille, who was a really good centre midfielder, or a really good centre half, playing right back. They've had a young guy who's kind of signed on, who was playing, I think, left centre back or left back, who's kind of, I think they might have signed him from the amateurs or signed him from the United States. So they are down to the bare bones. Who are the names? Do you remember the names of the defenders that they've got missing right now? I know the Kiwi boys as well.
Kiwis.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And Zaid Farah, who was probably, you know, arguably the top right back in the league last season.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, they are missing our ladies and gentlemen. You can't see this, but we can. Hello, Winter. Welcome to the Perth Football Podcast. What do you think of Perth?
She was just having a bit of a sook in the background, so I thought I'd go and give her the magic touch. And
she heard us
keep
talking.
Her quiet for the last 5 minutes. She just wanted to come and yell at Josh about something, probably.
No, she heard us talking about that Perth defensive performance, and it made her cry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we do want to wrap up part one anyway. Oh, there she goes. Before we get to Mark from Peak Performance, who's going to do us a bit of information on basic activation routines and stretching in the insert, I just want to touch quickly on Fremantle 2, Bayswater 0, because that was part of the reason that Knights could open this gap up at the top of the table. Bayswater falling away. Age-old question. Stoppage time goal in the first half and a stoppage time goal in the second half to make it 2-0. And Kalichi, Fremantle are really good. Bayswater not quite there. What's the story?
It is the Alex McLean revenge tour, baby. He is, I think what Josh was saying, he's top goal scorer of the league right now.
I don't know if he is, but I think it's like 4 goals.
He's
in
got 4.
Games. It's pretty impressive, yeah.
I don't think anyone's got 4 goals as well. But also, he scored against Alan Vernals, got his team to beat them, his old coach in the Balcata side. Sorry, in the Bayswater side, and then goes and scores against Bayswater City itself as well. So he's had a terrific season, even in the night series as well. He was coming off the bench and scoring goals.
Oh, Kalichi's gone. Yeah. Okay, so Kalichi was talking about, we'll keep this going, was talking about Alex McLean, who scored on the weekend against his old club Bayswater, obviously played in the under-20s a couple of years ago under Alan Vernals before he went to Forest Field and down to Fremantle. I was just checking Squaddy, the source of truth. It says he's only got 3 goals, but I'm pretty sure
I've
seen
him. Is that the official byline now for Squaddy, the source of truth?
I think so. Well, that's Chris Brady's byline for it. And okay. I think if Chris Brady says something on Facebook, it sticks.
Mate, if it's good enough, Brady, it's good enough for me.
But I swear I've seen him score 4 goals, so I'm willing to give him one extra. The other players on 3 goals there, Peter Jorkobsch, who scored a couple on the week are Gordon Smith and Kieran Byrne, who've each scored all of their goals in a solitary hat trick, I believe. Just while Kalichi's not there, do you have any more questions for me? Does Winter have anything she wants to add?
No, hopefully she's completely done with her input to the podcast. But yeah, well, once she can actually speak, maybe we'll get her back to give her opinion. Kalichi, there he is. Kalichi is back just in time to wrap up part one. Do you want to throw us to the chat with Mark?
Yeah, no problem. We'll next thing that you're going to hear is Mark Matheson talking to us about the best ways we can have some activation or some stretches pre-game and post-game.
Ah, you're a pro. We'll be back after this. And we are back for part two. Unfortunately, without our insert with Mark on the basic activation routines, technical difficulties and all that, they still haven't sorted out how to do everything, have they? Amazon can't even run their store security with AI, Josh, you were just telling us in the break.
Oh, I think they needed like so many people to actually check and verify the AI that what they said was...
So they were saying it was a computer monitoring the store.
Receipts. But... Yeah, it was checking people's receipts on the way out. It was actually 1,000 blokes in India, which is not how we run this podcast. I will let people know. Down here.
Yeah, we don't run it with 100% blokes and no women, do we? Disgraceful.
It's just one bloke and Bentley doing all the editing at the end. Thanks to this new system.
Anyway, we will get on to talking about the other three games in round four of the men's NPL, starting with one of your hot tips for the week, Kalichi. You're rolling into the weekend. Raise a few eyebrows when you tipped Inglewood to beat Stirling. It was Inglewood 1, Stirling 3 at the end. Explain yourself.
I thought the Generals were due.
For those who don't know, because I think there are going to be some people who don't know who the Washington Generals are, Kalichi, who are they?
The Washington Generals are the team that play against the Harlem Globetrotters every week.
That's right.
And Krusty the Clown bet on the Generals. He bet his life savings and he lost. But I say that because I sat down, I read Tucky's notes about the game, about the week ahead, and I was like, love that. I looked at the stats and I saw that they had won 4 of their last 6 against Stirling, and you know, a historian was like, take a bit of that. And I was just like, look, I just don't think that you can get to a situation where you've lost 4 games in a row. I think it's going to be like really difficult to kind of bounce back from that. So
Josh,
I thought that they'd
I don't
be...
think this guy knows what a historian is.
Not a statistician who understands correlation and causality, short of course.
Yes, well, that's as I those stats can always be very missing. I love the ones in like the Premier League when it's like this hasn't been done in 60.
So it's 1964,
years. And the two teams have only played twice in that time or something. But anyway, so this was a pretty comfortable win by Stirling in the end. Pretty bizarre own goal for the opener. You were saying, Josh.
Yeah, it sort of cross came in from, it may have been Clyne Matthews on the left, and Nick Specker, the goalkeeper's kind of got underneath it. Ball's been headed up by Jordan Brown, and then it looks like Josh Bilalowski in for what I think is his first start of the season after moving over from the junior ranks at Perth seems to give a little nudge to the Inglewood player over the line. The ball goes with him. Inglewood players protest, but the referee...
Kieran Salinger is mad. He's given it the two-handed shove and everything.
Yeah, well, he's giving the visual demonstration to the referee of what he thinks occurred, but none doing.
And what was your view on it, Josh?
I think he's frozen. Oh,
Josh couldn't hear me again. I think he's just very selective. When I start speaking, he tunes out, Kalichi. What was your verdict then, Kalichi?
I did not see the hands extended. And so because I didn't see that, I'm like, look, you can't, like, you've just got to kind of battle out there. If the hands are fully extended, then I give that to the defensive team. But when I saw the replay, I was like, you've just got to do a little bit better there as a defender.
Okay, well, that was the opener. Then there was a bit of Calvin Whitney penalty shenanigans. He missed one in the second half, or had it saved. And then as yeah, I wasn't going to let that one go. And then as Josh pointed out, a goalkeeper playing for a team that have they conceded more goals than anyone else in the league at this point? If they haven't, it's very close. I think they have.
They have.
Look, I'm not saying don't do it because it's great for us to talk about. I'm just saying you do have to be careful, don't you, if you're going to start giving it the big and like that. And Calvin Whitney slotted it, and he is not one to be one to back down from a bit of nickel, shall we say. So I'm sure he had a few words to say after that. Shabba Makala pulled one back from the spot, and then Josh Bilalowski, you mentioned him in the build-up to the first earlier. You also mentioned Kai Matthews, one of the other youngsters that's come through in this Ian Ferguson reign, and then Josh Bilalowski sealed it late on. So he's a bit of a traditionalist, I think is one way to put it. We were talking about earlier, Josh, but Ian Ferguson bringing through a lot of youth to go with that Sterling experience in those two players at least. It's pretty exciting to see these players come through, isn't it?
Yeah, they picked up Louis Hadfield, who'd played for Perth Red Star previously as well. So he's butting a few young players into a side that's got a lot of experienced names and established players who've been playing for certainly at least the last three seasons together. A few of them have actually been together longer because they played with Ian Ferguson down at Quinns. If you look at the cohort of Sam Wynne, James Bosdett, Brent Quick, possibly a couple of the other players who are in the squad. You got to the end of that Bayswater game, and they were pretty good for most of the game against Bayswater week before, but they were just out of their legs by the end of it. I think there were some Stirling fans who were clamouring for players like Bilalowski and Hadfield to get a chance a little bit earlier. Bilalowski obviously got the nod this week, and he's acquitted himself pretty well and put his hand up for more opportunities, even though he's in a pretty stacked midfield group there at Stirling Macedonia.
Well, absolutely, and great to see. Moving north, further north, almost as far as the wall, Caliche, Red Star. We've actually just started watching Game of Thrones again because Maddie hadn't seen it.
Explains the earlier reference.
That's why it's stuck in my head now. But anyway, let's head up north to the campus. Perth Red Star 1. Was it up there?
It was up there, yeah.
Red Star 1, Kingsway 1. Caliche, you're doing a Coach Carter on this. First of all, tell us what the bloody hell is that, mate?
So because we're absolute dorks and don't have a life, Nick Carter and I, Nick is a licensed coach, we're going to sit down and watch the Every couple of weeks, we will sit down and pick a game, whether it's in the NPL men's or the NPL women's, and just analyze the game from a coaching perspective. We'll talk about the lineups. We'll talk about the approach. We'll talk about the style of play. We'll analyze whether teams were pressing, counter-pressing. We'll basically go through and give you a good 45 minutes of just an in-depth thoughts on that specific game as well. So we've looked at this game between Perth Red Star and Olympic Kingsway, and so that will be, we'll give you half of it for free, and the other half is going to be on the Patreon. So if you really enjoy it,
yeah, tease them,
yeah, yeah, and then jack up the price.
You're slapping that one behind the paywall. Obviously, we've also had our full-time whistle episodes and a whole bunch of other stuff free on the Spotify feed. So if you haven't heard any of that but think it might be these episodes that we're talking about, might be something you'd be interested in, go and check them out. If you like them, you jump on the Patreon and you can sign up for a price of one of Caliche's long Mac topped up with oat milk.
Yeah, boy, you've been listening, Shaunton.
There you go. $6 or $7, whatever it is, a month, and you'll get all of that, including the full description of this one, which was an early goal for Boland, who also had a penalty saved. That was Boland for Kingsway, that is.
It was a big-time save from Reddy because it would have made them go 2-0 up.
A couple of penalty saves, Reddy getting down low. He's still got it, it seems, before Daryl Nicol got his first of the year, also from the spot, so it doesn't really count, I'm sure Gordon Smith is saying. But Palmer. Yes. go and listen to the snippet and then jump on the Patreon for the full Coach Carter episode on that one if you really want to deep dive into Perth Red Star Kingsway, Red Star and Kingsway coaching staff. Go and get Kalichi's input. Glory 4, Armidale 3 is the last one. I thought we'd end on... I think last time I spoke to you guys a couple of weeks ago, we were saying, is this the boring old Glory now? Are we going to get used to this Glory that's
one
a little
nil is
more
plenty?
1-0 is plenty, Glory. Well, no, not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, but 7 goals. Glory scoring the odd one in those 7 to win. Back to the crazy old days of the Glory, Kalichi, and long may it continue.
Yes, long may it continue, but also, like, I feel like such a fool. I went on the radio, just like, hey, they're playing this nice conservative game. They're trying to keep it controlled. They don't have the players that they had last season who'd be really quick on the counterattack and just be punishing teams. And they're not doing that. The cool thing is, I think it was over 10 passes for one of their goals. They're really drawing teams out with composed styles of play. Tommy and I do a deep dive on this on the Patreon as well. But Josh, you saw one of the goals and you had some questions around the goalkeeper.
Oh, I don't want to go too hard on a young goalkeeper. He just got stuck in no man's land, I think.
That's
not
what you set off the air.
What? Like, I don't do this to you.
I'm joking, Josh.
I never even said anything. What are
he's
you?
He's just dry snitching. Sean's got the mic and it's just dry snitching season right now.
Yeah. No, I was just at least
Kalichi did his snitching off the air with when we had Chris Jackson on last year.
I was alluding to the fact that you are off the air. You said you wanted to go in as hard as you could on a young goalkeeper and really.
Yeah, I definitely
really,
said
take
that,
away his
confidence.
Yeah, so obviously you wouldn't say that, Josh. Yes. What happened? It wasn't his finest moment.
Yeah, look, ball's gone through. It was a nice little chain of passes from Perth Glory, but you have two covering defenders there. He's wound up about 25 yards off his line and goes just tip the ball past him. And that sort of situation in the game, I mean, we talk about goalkeepers and you'd rather them be brave and come off their line and stop attacking situations before they emerge. But when you're 3-2 up with about 10 minutes of regular time to go, I think it's maybe the moment to put the cue in the rack and be a little bit more conservative as a goalkeeper, defend the castle.
And not like a Armidale goalkeeper to have a rush of blood to the head either, is it? It's not something we're used to seeing. Peter Jakob's brace in the second half. That's always nice to see after a Santiago Flores brace in the first half. So, yeah, some goals being scored. It's always the thing with these, Armidale games, but Glory games in particular. It's great to get some people on the scoreboard. You can always come away from one of these games going like, at least we've got, at least now Peter's got a few more goals under his belt and now Santi's, rolling. So I guess, you want to look at the positives in this as much as you can look at the negatives as well. So I'm sure, Armidale will soldier on. It's starting to look a little bit concerning for them. They've been beaten twice, drawn twice, and while the goal difference of -4 is not the worst, I don't know. It's they're not quite looking as bad as Inglewood, but
they've had some tough games to start the season, though. If you look at getting a point off Red Star, getting a point off Bayswater, they had Freo in Freo's first home game in the NPL era. Perth Glory Youth are right up near the top of the table as well. I think they're like second place or something like that. Peter Jakobs, just on that brace, I mean, Alan Vernals, if they go on to win that game, he's walking off head high as all hell thinking that he's a genius, because Jakobs has come in just after half time. I think he's coming in the 53rd minute, scored in the 59th and the 63rd. So he must have been thinking he'd pulled off a masterstroke there with the Jakobs substitution. Wasn't a bit, and they just seem to have, they're very similar to Balcatta at the moment. They seem to be, getting run over the top of in the second half in a couple games. I think they were ahead against Bayswater and went down. It was just the Red Star game where they were behind and managed to claw something back right at the end. So, yeah, a little bit for them to think about there.
It's also hard when it was so early in the season because it is just hard to know how tough a team's fixtures have been. So you can look at it, those four games and think like, yeah, on paper they look tough, but who knows where those teams will actually end up. And we're still kind of figuring out who is, who is the real deal this season. And it's very, very hard to pick. I mean, Western Knights obviously have 4 out of 4, but are they the best team in the league? It's so early to say. It's once again, I think, going to be a very, very entertaining NPL WA season, and possibly one of the tighter ones with, in terms of having multiple teams up there in the running. That's certainly at this stage.
I think that as you touched on it, the league's very much in an embryonic stage. At the moment, it's probably
a beautiful way of putting it, Josh. It's just poetry.
I try. It's probably going to take another, 4 or 5 rounds until the wash up happens. You get to that part of the season that Tommy describes as the dead part of the season, through the middle, where you kind of know where teams sit, but nothing's being decided yet. And Tommy decides it's time to go focus on some state league games or whatever. Just on the macro moment of the week, just to bring that back, I think, because unfortunately Tommy's not joining us for this one, but he loved a bit of the biffo, didn't he, between
I'm going to throw that in as Tommy Dolman's macro moment of the week. Extra plug for macro there. That Tommy said one of his favorite. Let me get the exact quote. It was something like one of his favorite things in football is here. It is. Yes, it was. And it reads, and I quote, "One of my favourite things in football, when a penalty is taken and there's a set to between goalkeeper and taker after." And Tommy Dolman, that is just one of the saddest things I've heard.
He's a purist, Sean.
Your favourite thing. Not the crossbar rattler that goes... bounces down and then up into the roof of the net. Not the sight of the droplets like spraying off the
not post a nutmeg
gets hit. Not a full length fingertip save. Not a screamer from 30 yards. But
we're gonna have to get Kalichi to record an insert with Tommy with his rebuttal.
But that push and shove.
He deserves a right of reply to that.
Don't think he does. A push and shove between goalkeeper. Always the silliest thing where one player just decides to fall over. Or sometimes both. I've seen ones where both goalkeeper and striker who are wrestling for the ball both fall down holding their faces like they've been hurt. And I think they are one of the most embarrassing things in football, Tommy. So you can have a right of reply if you want.
You know what I didn't understand about that whole situation, though, was it looked as though it was like the end of the first half.
It is the end of the first half.
Why are they so desperate to get the ball out of the net?
It can't have been a great set, too, surely. Okay. So it was just captain, I think, was going in to get the ball from the back of the net. That's Rockingham, isn't it? That had the penalty. And then goes to pick up the ball. Wasn't it seemingly in that much of a rush, but then the goalkeeper boots it away and the Rockingham captain doing what all good Rockingham boys do and just going up and giving him a bit of a chest bump. And then goalkeeper decided, did one of those pathetic flops to the ground that I was alluding to earlier. And there's Tommy's favourite thing in football.
Macro moment of the week.
Macro moment of the week.
He would have loved that Specker Whitney little clash then as well.
I'm sure he would have. If you haven't heard Kalichi for a while, it's because he's once again bloody dropped out on us. But that's all she wrote for this week on the Perth Football Podcast. It's just me and you here to say goodbye to the people, Josh. To any tales? We've got a couple of minutes left. We can hold out while we wait for Kalichi to come back. Any words for the listeners? Any big games coming up next weekend? I haven't even looked at the fixtures.
I only have two things to say. I mean, you guys didn't want to invite me to your On the Line podcast last year, the one for the tipsters, but you might want to have
I didn't realize you weren't invited.
Well, you just got to have a look at the tipping this year, and we just got the word from the man keeping the stats, Tommy Dolman, that the greatest man is currently the greatest tipster. I'm sure, like some teams early on in the season this year, that's not going to follow through for the whole season, and Sean's policy of never tipping a draw will get him back into the running at some point soon.
And actually, putting in tips for each round will get me back into the running.
You got done on the first round, didn't
we? We are only 4 weeks in, and I didn't get any for the first one. So even if I'd got three in the first week, I'd be only a couple behind you. So I'll peg you back.
I got the Uni Subi draw in the women's as well, and I think I was the only one on that. So.
It's crazy how many weeks in the tips there are where you go into the final 5 minutes of the game, like it's in stoppage time, and you're going like, I'm getting five or six here.
I'm getting five or six, and then
you end up with one.
And no one's ever, just to give anybody who's tried to do this a sense of how difficult it is, no one in the past two or three, so I think we've done it for two seasons, no one in the past two seasons has gotten six.
Yeah. It's crazy how hard it is to predict.
My last word is just, if anybody does have any complaints, the official address of the Perth Football Podcast is wherever Kalichi is. So send them into Kalichi. He'll direct them onto me, and I'll return a no comment.
The leaderboard for the tips is actually, if you want to know, Josh is on 11 from these first four rounds, Tommy on 8, and Kalichi on 7. I am on 6, just 1 point behind Kalichi, but I missed an entire round. So
you would have gotten 6 from 6.
I definitely think I'm going to,
if you'd been there.
And definitely think I'm going to jump back ahead of Kalichi at some point. So with that being said, we'll have a final dig at Kalichi there. And since he's not here to defend himself and still having audio difficulties, we will say goodbye. The Women's NPL podcast recording will be coming up after this. By the time you're listening to it, it'll all be up simultaneously, I think. So go and check out the Women's edition as well. Have yourselves a wonderful evening, ladies and gentlemen, or day, or morning, or afternoon, or whatever time. Middle of the night. If you're up in the middle of the night having a listen, hope you're having a great nightcap. Josh, you have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you next week, listeners. Bye. Bye.
Bye.